I want to invite you to take your Bible and stand. Would you do that? Take your Bible and stand. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. I appreciate the people in the branch. I appreciate all of our congregations and the good work that's happening. We're one church, several sites, but we're one church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want to talk to you a quote by Samuel Chadwick. Samuel Chadwick said this. He said, Christian religion is hopeless without the Holy Spirit. Christian religion is hopeless without the Holy Spirit. Folks, I want you to know something. The Christian life is not difficult without the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. We desperately, desperately need the Holy Spirit. A little girl goes to the doctor, and the doctor looks in her mouth, and he says to this little girl, is Mickey Mouse in there? And she kind of smiles. Then he looks in her ears and he says, well, is Donald Duck in there? And she kind of smiles. And then he puts the stethoscope on her heart. And he says to the little girl, is Barney in there? She said, no, Barney's on my panties. Jesus is in my heart. Well, here's what I want you to understand today. There are three groups of people that are listening today, just three. Now, one group is that group that you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. You're lost whether you realized or not. You've never became a Christian. You've never became a believer. And to be honest with you, that's the group I'm probably the most excited about. I'm more thrilled that you're here than anybody else. That group is just as lost as last year's Easter egg. Amen? Because church ought to be accepting, and church ought to be a place where people sense their love and they're cared about. So there's that group that just is just here. But then there's another group. That's the people that accepted Christ, much like I did. I accepted Christ because I wanted fire insurance. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I accepted Christ because I didn't want to go to hell. That's why I accepted him. I'd like to give you some other reason, but I got to thinking about, you know, I'm going to die, and I'm going to stand before God, and I don't want to be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone. So I accepted God, folks, simply because I wanted fire insurance. And the Holy Spirit came into my life. There's that group. But then there's the group who accepted Christ, but they not only accepted Christ, they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine. Now, think about this. If you know anything about alcohol, I wish I didn't. But if you know anything about a drunk, because of the alcohol, you're out of control. And what God is saying to us there, he wants us to experience a life in which we're out of control and the Holy Spirit controls our life. He wants to live his life through us. See, you say, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, let me explain it this way. How many of you have ever lived in a house that you didn't own? I know this. You can live in a house and not own it. And I want you to know something. God can be in you and not own you. God can be in you and not have full control of your life. God can just be a resident in you and not be president. And you're not really led by the Spirit of God. You're led by your own flesh and will and aspirations. But I want you to know something. The Christian life is hopeless without the Holy Spirit. And I want us to see some things that are right in the Word of God today. The first thing I want you to see is this. The command to be filled with the Spirit. Now think about Ephesians 5 and 18 says, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now here's what we got to ask folks today. We got to ask, is this to you and is this to me? Well, let's look who it was written to. In Ephesians 1 and 1, who was this book written to? Paul wrote the book. He was an apostle. Who's an apostle? He's an appointed one. He's an appointed one who's seen the risen Savior. That's what an apostle is. So you go by these churches and they've got on their marquee, apostle so-and-so. That means he's better than 2,000 years old. I'm just preaching the book. Paul, an apostle by Jesus Christ, of the will of God. Now, who's it written to? To the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Folks, this wasn't written to a bunch of pagan lost people. It was written to the apex. It was written to godly Christian people. And he tells godly Christian people, he tells people like you that come to church on Sunday, he said, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And folks, let me say something. It's not a suggestion. He didn't say it's something that you ought to consider. And by the way, it's not for the super saints. It's not just for Billy Graham and Mother Teresa. It's for all of us. And folks, let me say something else. It's not something that you can do for yourself. Only he can do it. And I also want you to know, when he said be filled, it's in the present tense. So that means the continuous tense. It's not just a two and we're through. It's we need a continual filling of God's Spirit. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, it speaks of the 10 virgins. Five of them's lamps went out. The oil was empty. The oil was gone. And folks, those lamps, this is actually what they were. They were just small. And they had to be filled up with oil every 2 to 4 hours. And folks, that's how we are. We need a fresh filling of God's power and God's presence. We need a fresh filling of God's Spirit. And there's a command. And the command is to Christian people to be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, folks, what are the conditions for being filled with the Spirit? Well, first of all, there's got to be a desire to be filled. I want you to know something. Your church experience will become mechanical and dry without the Holy Spirit. Too many churches today are starting at 11 o'clock sharp and they're ending at 12 o'clock dull. And your marriage can just become methodical without the Holy Spirit. Your ministry will become dry without the Holy Spirit. And folks, there has to come a time in our lives when we say to ourselves, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this than what I'm experiencing. There's got to be more to this than what I'm experiencing. I need a touch from above. Because folks, unless there is within us that which is above us, we'll soon yield to that which is around us. And Jesus said something, folks, in John chapter 4. Notice what he said. He said, whosoever drank of this water shall thirst again. He told that lady at the well, everything that this world offers will leave you thirsty. You say, oh, I was at the Crystal Pistol with some lounge lizards. Let me tell you something. You can go down to the Crystal Pistol with a bunch of lounge lizards, but at the end of the night, you'll be empty. At the next day, you'll be miserable. The next day will leave you thirsty. You say, I had an inappropriate relationship, and that will leave you thirsty. I got high on drugs, that will leave you thirsty. I want you to know everything that this world offers, ladies and gentlemen, will leave you thirsty. I tried it, and it left me thirsty. But look what Jesus said. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. I love what he said. He didn't say whoever hath drunk. He said whoso drinketh. That tells me, ladies and gentlemen, this is a continual process. That we continually, there's been so many times in my life that I've been dry. There's been so many times in my life that I wanted to throw in the towel. But I realized I just needed a fresh filling of God. I just needed a fresh filling of God's Spirit. I'm so dry, I'm so empty. Our marriage is so dry, it's so empty. Our relationship's so dry, it's so empty. My church experience is so dry, it's so empty. My ministry's so dry, it's so empty. Folks, we've missed it. We need the presence of God. You say, oh, many of us, folks, we're scared of this. We're scared. Oh, what might that lead to? Let me tell you something. I'd rather calm down a fanatic than warm up a corpse. I'd rather calm down a fanatic than warm up a corpse. There has to be that desire to be filled. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we have to denounce sin. Look what the scripture says. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We have to denounce sin. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Many times God can't fill us because we're full of pride. We're full of malice. We're full of strife. Full of ego. We're full of anger. We're full of bitterness. But what we've got to come to God and say is this: God, show me what's in my life that I need away. Show me what I need to denounce. See, you've got a desire to be filled. You've got to denounce sin. Then you just got to dedicate yourself to Christ. I began to think this week, why wouldn't we give ourselves fully to Christ? Think about this, folks. Why wouldn't you surrender your life to Him? He knows what's best for your life. He wants what's best for your life. He's able to do what's best for your life. Nobody loves you like He loves you. Why would we be afraid to give control to someone who wants what's best for our lives? Why would we want to call the shots when we don't know what's best, and the one who wants to call the shots wants what's best? See, I see the conditions. But what are the consequences? What are the consequences of being filled with God's Spirit? Well, you know, folks, I don't ever want to give just opinions. I want to give scripture. It tells us in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And then he tells us in verses 19 through 21, what are the consequences of being filled with the Spirit? Well, look, the first consequence of being filled with the Spirit is gladness. Look what verse 19 says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and having a melody in your heart. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm not passing judgment. But if you're always complaining, you need a fresh filling of God's Spirit. If you're always negative, you need a fresh filling of God's Spirit. If you're so negative you could walk into a dark room and develop, you need a fresh filling of God's Spirit. Don't talk to me about how that you've had this glorious experience and you're so negative and you're so bitter and you're so complaining. No, folks. A consequence of being filled with the Spirit is you've got gladness in your heart. You've got the joy of the Lord. You've got the joy of the Lord. Am I preaching the book? Somebody say amen if I'm in the book. That's in it. No. Don't talk to me about this Spirit-filled experience. And you're as negative as can be. And all you want to talk about is what's wrong. God help us. Folks, some of the most negative people I've ever met never miss a church service. Some of the most negative people I've ever met, they never miss a church service. But God help us, folks. We ought to be the antithesis of that. He's put joy in our hearts. Never will forget one time. There was a situation and there was an individual that really had just caused me problems. Just been problems. You know, some people give an aspirin a headache. Just problems. And that person's name was brought up. And I said to Barbara, I said, well, I've dealt with that. I've moved on past that. I'm forgiven. I'm totally forgiven. She said, well, let me ask you something. If you've totally forgiven them, why every time their name is mentioned, does your countenance change? I just wanted to slap her in Jesus' name. But folks, that's not walking in the Spirit. That's not living a Spirit-filled life when I've got bitterness, malice, and strife in my heart. No. See, when you are Spirit-filled, you've got gladness. You're not running around complaining about everything. You've got gladness. It's an oxymoron, folks. When you're Spirit-filled, not only do you have gladness, but look, you've got gratefulness. Look what the Scripture says. Look at verse 20. I mean, black ink on white paper. Look what he says. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, if I'm Spirit-filled, I'm not grumbly hateful. I'm humbly grateful. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I've got an attitude of gratitude. I'm thanking God for my wife. I'm thanking God for my family. I'm thanking God for my health. I'm thanking God that I didn't get what I deserved. I'm thanking God for my job. I'm thanking God for all of His blessings. Lady gets up one morning, cancer lady, battling cancer. She's got 3 hairs on her head. She said, you know, I think I'll braid my hair today. The next morning, she gets up. She's got 2 hairs on her head. She says, you know, I think I'll part it in the middle. She gets up the next morning. She's got 1 hair on her head. She says, I think I'll wear my hair in a ponytail. She gets up the next morning completely bald. She said, praise God, I don't have to do my hair today. Oh, listen, folks. If we're Spirit-filled, don't talk to me about how Spirit-filled you are if you don't have gladness in your life, if you don't have gratefulness in your life. And let me tell you something else. If you don't have graciousness in your life. Look what the Scripture says in verse 21. I've got to move. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now wait. Get this. So I'm supposed to submit to Barbara? So I'm not supposed to focus on my needs. I'm supposed to focus on her needs. Ted, am I preaching the book? Barbara said, yes, he is. So Barbara's not supposed to focus on her needs. She's supposed to focus on my needs. And it's not about what I need. It's about making sure Benny gets what he needs. It's not about me so much being happy. I need to do everything I can to enhance Benny's happiness. Man, I like his preaching. So we're supposed to submit to each other. And then children are supposed to submit to mom and dad. And yes, sir, dad. Thank you, dad, for working and providing for us. Thank you, dad, for sacrificing. Thank you, dad, that I've got clothes on my back. Thank you, dad, that I get to go to school. Thank you, dad, when people are homeless, that I've got a warm bed to go to. Thank you, mom, for washing my clothes. Thank you, mom, when women walked off and left their children, you didn't walk off and leave me. Thank you, mom, for always being there. Thank you for taking us to church and not sending us. Thank you, mom, for just being there. So children are supposed to do that. And then this whole deal of submitting, employees are supposed to submit to their employer and say thank you as a businessman for providing a job for me. Gosh, this is good preaching. Thank you for providing a job for us. I'm here to serve you as your employee. And then employers are supposed to look to God, their master, and say, God, you're my master, and I want to do right by my employees, because I can't be right by you unless I do right by these employees. All this submission? Let me tell you something, folks. I'm going to give you a news flash. That's not within me. That only comes through being filled with God's Spirit. Gladness, gratefulness, and graciousness only comes through being filled with God's Spirit. It doesn't happen on our own. Now, what is the context of being filled with the Spirit? And I'm almost done. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. Why is it so important? I'll give you three reasons right quick. Number one, Spirit-filled service. I want you to understand. You say, Pastor, I sing in the choir. I serve as a greeter. I'm on the cancer support ministry. It matters to me not what you do, but I want you to know something. Unless you're doing it in the Spirit, you'll burn out. If you're just trying to do it in your own ability and in your own flesh, you'll burn out. You've got to continually be filled with God's Spirit. Think about this. Look what the Bible says in Luke. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Who did the Holy Spirit come upon? Jesus Christ. And a voice came from heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That happened when Jesus was 30 years old. Why at that point, Pastor Benny, explain? Well, the next verse. And Jesus himself began to be 30 years of age. It was at 30 years of age, folks, that he began his ministry. And a Levite or priest couldn't begin their ministry until they were 30 years of age. And it was unlawful for a scribe to teach until he was 30 years of age. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And when he was 30 years of age and he began his ministry, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And folks, if Jesus Christ needed the Holy Spirit for ministry, how much more do we? Spirit-filled service. Christ-like living. Christ-like living. I began to think about, I want to preach a series that's relevant. But folks, how many of our relationships need love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? According to Galatians 5 and 22, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Spirit-filled service, Christ-like living, and lastly, victory in your life. God wants us to have victory. The Bible says this in Romans 8 and 13. It says, through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body. God wants us to have victory. Let me tell you this. When I was 16, and I was from the wrong side of the tracks, we ran taverns and nightclubs. I was never in church. Didn't know anything about church. The only time I heard God's name was when God's name was taken in vain. There was a preacher would stop by the nightclubs that we ran, and he would invite us to church. 52 Sundays a year, every year I call him, and I thank him for caring about me. Why would you care about a family like ours? It could have destroyed his reputation if somebody had seen his car there. But he didn't care. He cared about our family. And he came by and he talked to us about the Lord. He'd tell my mom, "Melba, you need to get Benny and Rhonda in church." Then finally one night, about midnight, I prayed and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I didn't understand it. "Whosoever drank of this water shall thirst again." But when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, the Holy Spirit came into my life. And he started dominating. He was the dominant force in my life. Man, I knew John 3:16, and I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Amen? I was so excited. The Holy Spirit came into my life. And he became dominant in my life. He became dominant. And you know, the same thing happens in your life and happened in your life. The Holy Spirit came into your life and he became dominant. But you know, time passes and I need to buy this and I need to get that. And things have a way of creeping into our life. And you know, I want to have a relationship with the Lord, but it's in the age of social media, and I've got to get this on Facebook. And we don't have time for the faith book because we spend too much time in the Facebook. I've got to tell them. They've got to know what I'm doing. They want to know so bad. Before I go to bed tonight, I got to monitor Facebook. And first thing in the morning, who knows what could happen during the night? I really don't have time for devotion because, you know, I've got to see what's happening. I just tweeted so-and-so something. Oh, they really liked it. And, you know, it starts controlling. And you know, it is the 21st century. And I've got to look the part. A girl's got to take care of herself. And you know, we're buying some things, and I'm making more money. We've bought this, and we've bought that. And we're just buying some things. Just got to get some things. You just got to have some things. We just got to have things. That's it's where it's in those it's in those things. It's in those things. Got to have those things. And you know, we love Pastor Benny, and we're streaming him, but Johnny's in soccer.
Yeah, he's playing ball now. We don't get to church near like we used to, but Benny knows we love him. God bless him. Merry Christmas. I'll say this, folks. I'm not picking on anything. I know what my bucket is. I don't know what your bucket is. I know what my bucket is. I don't know what your bucket is. But the problem is God came into our life, but the other bucket got full. Now, I could use 25 analogies of whatever your bucket was. But before long, instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the bucket's filled with something else. Before long, instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit, having desire for God, no, the bucket's full of something else. So you say, Pastor, we gotta deal with this bucket, don't we? No. I think we got to deal with this bucket. And what we need, ladies and gentlemen, in the bucket is a fresh filling of God's power. And when you get filled up with God's presence, it'll knock the other stuff out of the bucket. So what's the answer, folks? Here's the answer. It's just being honest and saying, God, I need a fresh feeling of your power and your presence in my life. I need that more than I need anything else. Let me tell you something. That's the secret to every relationship. As our musicians are coming, that's the secret to every relationship. That's the secret to having a zest for life. It's not within you. Think about this, and I'm done. God gave 10 commandments. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't kill. Now, here, I'm going to ask you something. What was their strength for not doing those things? They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Folks, the way we can overcome is through the Holy Spirit. It's through surrendering and saying, God, I need.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.